We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to go to where we've been for the last several Sundays, over to Exodus chapter 20. I have shared with you all before how perhaps my favorite attribute of God is His faithfulness. How many of you are with me in that category? Some of you are more fond of other things about the Lord, and I can't hardly ever sing anything about the faithfulness of God without feeling emotion and weeping. I was on the front row just trying to contain myself, and I'm like, oh, well, just let it out. It's probably for the best. Amen? You need to cry sometimes, and the Lord's working in your heart. Don't hold that in. That'll hurt you, okay? That grows in and makes you grow a horn in your back. That's in Hezekiah chapter 5. You find that there. So you're looking for that now. I'm just kidding. We've been singing about God's faithfulness today because it's important, and especially on a day like today where we are going to examine a tough topic. Not that any of the other topics that we've talked about were not tough. Can I get a witness on that? But in Exodus chapter 20 today, commandment, the seventh commandment, if you'll notice it there, thou shalt not commit what?
Adultery.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Can I just ask a question? How many of you say that's really clear? How many of you are like, I wonder what that means? Because sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, got to check that out, right? But like, no Fuzzyville this morning, right? You should know a couple of things before we get started this morning. All right. First of all, this is a two-part series, two-part message. I'll be covering it, starting it this week, laying a lot of thick groundwork. Next week will be just as serious, but much more practical at the end. Can't get it all done. Really didn't want to do 2 weeks on murder and looked at adultery and thought, I just can't get it done in 1 week. And some of you are like, I wish you would have. Too bad. This is a message that if you have younger children with you today, I may say some things that you maybe not want them to hear. I'll leave that up to you. You're the parent. You may get a lot of questions today over the lunch table. That might be very beneficial. And you might think, I had no idea Pastor was going there. I would have escorted little Susie or little Johnny out of the auditorium. This is your opportunity to do that. But if you're an adult, stay seated. This is going to be a message that, unfortunately, and maybe not unfortunately, will make some of us, if not most of us, prayerfully all of us, uncomfortable. Certainly the man delivering the sermon. This is going to be a message that I have begged God to help me preach. Perhaps more than any other, I was praying with the pastors. Nice to have Pastor Micah and the team back from the Dominican, by the way. A little more on their story later. But I was praying with our pastors earlier and just confessed to God that it's not that I need Him any less on any other of the Sundays that I preach, just that this particular subject matter can be so sensitive because that the reality of it is adultery, sexual immorality, fornication, pornography, all of this is having a huge, massive effect on the culture and the church. My prayer is that you will not just hear the message today because, if I can just be very blunt, a lot of us come to church and we just hear a good message and then that's the end of it. If you come to church and all you do is listen to a sermon and it doesn't change your life, you've kind of wasted your time. The Word of God is to impact us and change us, right? To convict us, to encourage us, and to cause us to leave the building and be different. That the message will not just be information, but it will be biblical application that leads to life transformation, okay? Let me say that again, that it will not just be information, but it will be biblical application that leads to life transformation. And let me say as well that I am keenly aware that there are those here who have committed adultery. And you may feel like, well, I guess I'm going to get beat up all through the sermon. No, it's not my intent. That's not my heart. This message has not been written that way, all right? I'm also aware that some of you are here, and if statistics are true, there's several of you in this building that are in the process of committing adultery. Somebody in your family doesn't know about it, your spouse is unaware of it, but you're in the process of it. You have a relationship going on outside of your marriage, and a crowd this size, if statistics are accurate, there's a few of you in here involved in that. My prayer for you is that you'll come clean, that you'll run to Jesus Christ today and get your life turned around. Some of you are here and you're contemplating it. You're flirting with that guy. You're flirting with that woman. You're online. You're sending texts. You're having conversations. You're pursuing it. You don't think that you are, but that's where it's going. It's where it's going. It's no mistake you're here today. It's no mistake. Some of you are a couple of clicks away from hitting some internet sites that you know are going to damage your relationship, that your wife is going to find out or your husband's going to find out. This is God's rescue for you today. God brought you here to hear this, to say, stop! Stop. Some of you are here today and you're like, well, I'm not married, so this message doesn't apply. Hang on. Statistically, 91% of you are going to be married. 91. Some of you are like, I'm in the 9%. Okay. Well, this message is for anybody who is married, has been married, wants to be married, and knows somebody who is married or can spell married. Okay? So tell me, who is this message for? Who is it for? It's for everybody. All right? For every category I mentioned and a bunch I left out. Okay? You say, why'd you go through all that trouble? Because here's the point. There are no special exemptions on any of the commandments. Amen? There's no, I don't got to worry about that one. No, there's no special exemptions. And let's be clear about the Ten Commandments and remember that these are God's laws for living. They are God's protective measure in our life. They are His provision for our happiness. 1 John chapter 5 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now notice, His commandments are not what? Come on, it's on the screen. You can't miss it. His commandments are not what? How many of you have ever told your child to do something and they responded something like this? Can I get a witness? How many of you have ever ask your child to do something and they're like, Mom, Dad. How many of you have your child respond this way? Okay, fine. Or my personal favorite, yes, ma'am. How many of you? Okay. What they're saying is, by their speech and their body language, what they're saying is, I can't believe I have to wash the dishes. This is so grievous. I have to make my bed. And you're thinking to yourself, really? Like all of these things, you know, taking out the trash or cutting the grass or carrying in groceries or cleaning your room or washing a few dishes. I mean, is that grievous to you? Okay. And what John is saying is that God's commandments to us, they're not grievous. They're not something that's like a burden. God's saying, don't commit adultery. We're not like, oh man, I really wanted to. Okay? That's what he's saying. He's saying, these are not grievous things to us. These are things that God is saying, I love you. I want to protect you. Don't do that. Don't get an attitude toward God. And here's the point. We need to understand that obedience to God's commands is the pathway to a joyful life. Some of us are in misery today because we're trying to live our life by the blueprint of something other than the Scriptures. We're trying to lead our life in a way that God is saying, that's not a joyful path. Some of us have made a habit out of rebelling and rejecting God's best for us. When you sin and rebel, you are rejecting God's best for you. And the term we would use is disobedience. In essence, to disobey our Father is to be unfaithful to Him. We would call it, and I would urge you to write this phrase down, spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery is when we forsake our perfect, loving Heavenly Father and in turn deny Him His right to rule and reign in our life. And the consequences of that choice are always disastrous. Now, how many of you in here are allergic to pain? Pain. Well, good news and bad news. There are two kinds of pain. Two kinds of pain. How many? Two kinds. There is sinful pain. Everybody say sinful. Okay. And then there's sanctification pain. Everybody say sanctification. Okay. Sinful. What's the first one? What's the second one? Sanctification. But it's pain. Now here's the point. One produces a feeling of guilt and shame and sorrow and regret, and it comes with incredibly difficult consequences. Guess which one that is? Yeah. Some of you are like, sanctification. Sinful. Sinful pain. It's the result when you sin, choose to sin altogether. Choose to sin, choose to suffer. Say it again. Choose to sin, choose to suffer. One more time. It's painful. It hurts. It hurts. Then there's the pain of sanctification. How many of you have ever had a good workout and after you're done, you're like, man, I'm sore, but it's a good sore. It's a good pain. Okay, you're getting better. You've been sick and you feel yourself and you're like, wow. Some of you are like, I hate that pain. Don't talk to me about it. No, that's a good pain, right? Okay, here's the point. When we're growing in Christ and we're obeying Jesus Christ, the pain of sanctification produces godliness. And pain is a part of God's teaching in our life. And it should produce something. Now, the truth is, sinful choices, disobedience, initially feels pleasurable, feels good, feels right, but great pain is coming. Great pain is coming. Immeasurable pain, misery. Obedience and sanctification produces a productive pain and produces long-term joy and pleasure. And God is saying, in your marriage, no adultery. Ever, never. That's why the title of the message is called Forever Faithful. Forever Faithful. This was Israel's problem. All through the Old Testament, they were constantly being unfaithful to God. They were seeking and serving and sacrificing to other gods, constantly. And God used prophet after prophet after prophet to speak to His people. In one graphic story in the book of Hosea, God told Hosea to marry a harlot. Her name was Gomer. And she portrayed unfaithful Israel as she whored around. And God used her as a living illustration and how her husband, Hosea, was to love her as a picture of God's love for His people. And yet there was still judgment. Because when you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. You can't circumnavigate the consequences of your sinful choices. It doesn't work like that. And God judged them, but here's the good news. He never stopped loving them. And that's why I wrote this down. Even in our unfaithfulness, God remains faithful. And I got to get a lot of things out of the way this morning before we can get to some things that we need to talk about, and you need to understand the history of some of this and where we're headed this morning and how we're receiving this. God was often pulling Israel out of the slimy pit of spiritual adultery. He was still faithful, still today is faithful and always will be. Amen? And what we need to embrace is that just as God is faithful, we in turn are to imitate His faithfulness. Does that make sense, guys? We are to reflect God's faithfulness in our relationships and in our living. Because here's the point. Faithfulness to God affects every area of our life. You see, faithfulness is the one thing everyone in here can do. Not everyone can preach. Not everyone can teach. Not everyone can sing. Can I get an amen on that? You're like, yeah, especially the guy next to me. Yeah, okay. Not everyone should be teaching children. There's a reason we don't have some people in the nursery. All the kids would be duct taped to the wall, all right? So, not everyone has that gift, amen? Okay? Now, here's the one thing. It's the one thing you can all do is be faithful. Let me say this. Your faithfulness is as equally important as my faithfulness. Oh, you're the pastor. You got to be more faithful. Wrong answer. Okay? It's just as important for our sound guys to be faithful and the guy on the queue and bringing up the slides. And don't you appreciate them back there every Sunday? All we ever notice is when they mess up. Oh, they're messing up back there. Okay, okay. It's as equally important for them to be faithful as it is for me to be faithful. For our children's workers to be faithful. For those in the park. Faithfulness is connectivity. And God has called us all, everybody say all. We're all to be faithful. But faithfulness in marriage is where we find ourselves today in the context and in the content. So we shift gears. We make a right-hand turn and write this down. A commitment to faithfulness is the foundation for building a godly marriage. All for godly marriage, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, and that's what we're going for today. We're going for godly marriages, marriages that honor God. And you have to understand this, dear friend. If you want that, if you're wanting a marriage that's going to be godly, it's got to start with faithfulness to God first as individuals. Right? If my husband was more stop it. You be faithful. Like, well, you know, if my wife, if she, stop it. You be faithful. Faithfulness first to God as individuals and then as a couple. Are you tracking? Say amen. Okay. Here's where this turn now comes into the message. The context is marriage. There's the overarching theme biblically of the faithfulness of God and the responsibility and the requirement that we have to be faithful. But God now speaking specifically says, you shall not commit adultery. And let me say it this way. No husband or wife is ever unfaithful to their spouse without first being unfaithful to God. You don't say, man, I was just serving Jesus, loving the Lord, winning souls to Christ, and I cheated on my wife. No, that doesn't happen. You're not living for God and then cheating on your husband. No husband or wife is ever unfaithful to their spouse without first being unfaithful spiritually to God. And when you start down the path of spiritual adultery, it is a slippery slope that will lead you into all kinds of things. Spousal adultery, this is what we're talking about today, is always preceded by spiritual adultery. 20 plus years of ministry. Do you know how many people I've spoken to? Do you know how many people I have talked to? And I have said to them, when did it start? And they're like, well, I met this guy. I'm like, no. Before that. And they're like, what? Well, I don't know. I just met this guy. I'm like, no, before that. Like, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm like, before you had the conversation with the guy or the gal, there was something already going on in your heart. When did that start? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, about 2 years. I'm like, there we go. Now we're getting real. See, we think adultery starts the moment that we proceed into the act. Adultery started long before that. Are you guys with me? This is how this works. Satan does not want you to think that. This is why the first four commandments are first, because it begins with worship and surrender and seeking God and no other gods, and then into the sanctity of the home and the sanctity of life, and now the sanctity of marriage. These are established in order. And we live in a society that has no understanding of what marriage is. The lines have not only been blurred, but now they've been totally rewritten. People are profoundly confused about marriage. And most of our society has totally dismissed God and what He says about marriage. Friends, listen, marriage is a sacred thing before a holy God. That's why in your vow, you probably heard the pastor say it's not something to be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but soberly. Marriage is serious. Marriage is between one man, one woman. It was a little pathetic, amen. I'm going to try it again. Marriage is between one man, one woman. Amen. Forever! That's how it's meant to be. But we live in a society that is moving further and further away from God. This has resulted in many, many things. Namely, a society that is sexually perverted. Sexually perverted. We have totally now in our society what we would call a sexually permissive society. Anything goes. If we think things are bad now, prepare for what is to come. I believe now that we have seen the legalization of gay marriage, it won't be long before polygamy will be legalized. In England, while I was living there with my family and serving, they lowered the sexual age of consent down to 14 and are working at getting it to 12. I watched with horror as in the Houses of Parliament, a small conservative group stood up when the bill was passed to lower the age. We're talking sexual consent between an adult and a child, 14. This was the age it was lowered to. They're working on 12, and here's what one of the men said. He screamed at the top of his lungs as they ushered him out. He said, "Most of you in here want to lower this so you can go have sex with your kids." And they ripped him out. They're trying to completely alter God's pattern and plan for family life. Totally rewrite it. Because in their mind, why not? Why not? This is the things that we are bombarded with. This is what is pushed on television shows. Many of you are watching TV shows, have no idea, but you should know that most of the shows that you're watching are written and produced by an extreme left homosexual agenda person. They're influencing us and impacting us. You say, well, are you against homosexuals? I'm against any sin, amen? Okay, God hates the sin but loves the sinner, right? Okay, but this isn't about that. This is about what's happening in our society. We have, it's interesting, how many of you have a garbage disposal in your home? And you know what? Here's the thing. You have a garbage disposal. Listen carefully, but here's what you also have in your home if you're not careful, a garbage dispenser. It's called the television. And it's just dispensing hours and hours of putrid filth into your home. Be careful. The great British historian Edward Gibbon wrote the book The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. He listed the five main reasons why Rome fell. Are you listening? No one was going to take Rome over. No one. Study history. Rome was phenomenal. And they crumbled. And here was the number one reason he listed why Rome fell. Sexual immorality. The reality is we live in an adulterous generation. Adultery isn't just trivialized in the entertainment world. It's celebrated. Adultery is an epidemic in America, with 50% of married men saying they have been unfaithful and 35% of women said they have been unfaithful. Dr. Al Mohler said this, "A culture that embraces adultery accepts within itself a poison pill for every other relationship." Let me read it again. A culture that embraces adultery accepts within itself a poison pill for every other relationship. Well, the good news is, while our world has swallowed this poisonous pill, God's Word has the remedy. God's Word has the right prescription for a faithful, holy, and happy marriage. So number one, God's design and definition of marriage. God's design and definition of marriage. Now, I already touched on this, so I won't stay here long, says the preacher. Marriage is between one man, one woman. It's a covenant. It's not just a civil contract or a piece of paper. It's a holy vow you take before God. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. It's between you, your spouse, and there's a third party involved. Hello, God. Amen. Genesis 2 says, therefore, shall a man leave, everybody say leave, his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be. I'm going to give you three words. If you ever see me for premarital counseling, some of you are in here, you'll know these three words. It's called leave. Write it down, write it down, write it down. Leave, cleave, weave. This is the prescription of a godly marriage. Leave your parents, okay? Won't get into all that. But it's time to leave mom and daddy when you get married. Can I get an amen? Just maybe a little one, you know? Okay? Cut the apron strings. Amen? Stop being a mama's boy, be a man. Okay? Leave, cleave. Literally, the word there means stuck. The last wedding ceremony I did, I told them, you guys are stuck together forever now. And marriage is a happy sticking. Amen? It's a joyful stuck. We're just stuck, and we love it. Some of you are like, so it's leave. What's the second one?
Leave.
What's the last one?
Weave.
This is where God steps in and weaves your marriage into a beautiful tapestry of His grace. Amen? Marriage is permanent. It's exclusive. And marriage is a picture of something greater. It's a picture of Jesus' love for the church. And here's the point. If you're married, would you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. If you're married, here, get this. This is so important. God's goal in marriage is for husband and wife to bring glory to God through their union. Our marriages should point people to Christ. This is your marriage in a nutshell. Your marriage, people should look at your marriage and say, okay, I see Jesus in that. I see two sinners living under one roof making it work. How'd you do that? How'd you do that? Is it pointing people to Christ? This is God's goal. And the danger is, we can have the wrong view and understanding of marriage. We come with preconceived notions. How many of you, after you got married, you're like, this was nothing like I thought. Preconceived notions, misunderstandings. How many of you figured out that men and women communicate differently? Moving on. Assumptions. I just thought you would know that. I just thought you would know I don't have telepathy, right? What happens is you come into the marriage with all of these things, and because of your preconceived notions, your misunderstandings, your assumptions, your marriage becomes a prime target for the enemy and fertile ground for an adultery to take place. By the way, Satan's primary target has been and continues to be the home. It was the first place he attacked. He has a three-step plan: disguise, divide, destroy. Disguise, divide, destroy. That's his plan. He's got no new tricks, just new people to work with. His first attack was to mess with Eve. He disguised himself, distorted God's word, and he's been at it ever since. And his goal is to redefine God's definition of everything he has ever said. And that includes marriage. In marriage, God has provided a way for us to experience life on a level that is precious and is joyful and wonderful, to enjoy and engage in a union that brings life. But understand this, that all of God's gifts have limitations. Sex inside of marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a holy thing. You're commanded in God's Word to be intimate sexually with your spouse. You're commanded to do that in Corinthians. You're to be that way. Some of you are like, so glad I was in church today. To not be intimate with your spouse sets you up for temptation. Did you guys know that? But when you have sex outside of marriage, you're cooperating with hell's plan for your home. Satan's goal is to get you having sex before you get married and to get you to have sex with someone else after you're married. He doesn't want you having sex as a married couple. He'd rather you be having sex fornicating before marriage, not having sexual intimacy in your marriage, and seeking to have sexual intimacy outside of your marriage, which is called adultery. He has two bookends, fornication and adultery. Fornication is sex outside of marriage, and adultery is sex with another person inside of marriage. Are you guys tracking me? This is what it's called. This is what happens. I didn't make this stuff up. It's in the Word of God. And God says there's a limit on when you are to experience sexual intimacy. He makes the rules, He establishes the boundaries, and He says, no adultery. How clear is that in the Scripture? Again, here's the theme. God's protection, God's preservation. No adultery. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I don't want you to harm your marriage. Don't wreck and ruin your relationship. Love your spouse. Don't commit adultery. Never, ever remain faithful. This is God's prescription for marriage. This is His definition. Do we all understand that? And all of God's people said, amen. All right, can we move to the second point? Number two, dealing with our deceitful hearts. This is where it gets tricky because the heart's deceitful. Did you guys know that? Now, I don't know if you know this, but your marriage needs protected. Your marriage needs protected. And many times, marriages are ruined because of a failure to understand that our union needs protection. You say, why? Here's why. Because problems exist in every marriage. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, your marriage has problems. Go ahead. Some of you are talking to your wife and she's like, I know, dummy. I already know. The problem is, are you listening? Here's the problem. The problem is we don't think they do. I had one guy tell me after he got saved, he'd been married to the same woman for 8 years, he got saved, and he came to me afterwards, he said, I didn't realize how messed up my marriage was till I met Jesus Christ. He said, now that I know the Lord, I realize how messed up our marriage is and how messed up I am and how messed up she is. And so we gotta work this thing out. Amen? People are like, oh, we went to a marriage conference. Are you having problems? Yeah, we all are. Amen? There's this shame in the church today. If anybody says, how are you doing? Well, we're struggling. Oh, I immediately want to say, so are you. Well, your marriage is up here, is it? Is that how it works? Every single couple who is married in this auditorium has struggles in their marriage. They have issues. They have problems. They have things they're working through. There's no perfect people. Means there's no perfect marriages. Which means your kids are jacked up. Right? Your grandkids are kind of okay. All right? Where's the unmarried people? Listen. Don't think marriage is going to solve all your problems. Like, oh, we get married, it's going to be so great. Okay. Marriage doesn't solve your problems. Marriage just reveals more problems. Marriage is a mirror that will reveal things about yourself that may just shock you. And that's a part of the purpose of marriage, is to help you become holy. I should be a better man because of my relationship and my marriage to Angela. And I am. And the same for her. She should be a more godly woman, a woman who is pursuing the Lord because of me. Now, I'm not sure it works that way all the time, okay? But the point is, God brings people together for His purposes to make us holy for our sanctification. Here's why, extra credit, your spouse is God's instrument to help you grow. So you're like, can I get another instrument? No. You're like, I've heard people say this to me, I think I married the wrong person. I had a lady come into me, a horrible situation. She came into me and she said, here's my problem. I was like, okay, great. She's like, I married the wrong man. I said, no, you just need to be the right woman. Love the Lord, seek Him. Let God deal with your man. Amen? Amen? Okay, you know what Tony Evans says about submission, ladies? Best definition of submission is duck, so God can knock sense into your husband, okay? Amen? Some of you are like, oh, yeah. Here's where the danger zone comes. The danger zone comes when couples no longer embrace or live their life according to God's blueprint for marriage. When you fail to remember that your spouse is a fallen sinner and that they cannot be the sole source of your fulfillment, you start getting irritated with them and bored and frustrated and lonely. And you begin to start to enter into what we would call the first phases of the potential of an adulterous relationship. You become emotionally detached and relationally detached. And you get dissatisfied and you are spiritually dry in your life. And some of you, I just described you today. And here's what I would urge you to do. Run to God, run to your spouse and get help. Don't wait. This is how it starts. Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Matthew 15:9. So just like murder last week, where does it originate, everybody? Everybody where?
The heart.
Write this down. Lust in the heart leads to adultery. Lust in the heart, it leads to adultery. Unfaithfulness starts privately in the heart. It's a secret sin that ultimately leads to adultery in public. And all you got to do is read the Bible. Read about guys and gals who committed adultery. We think about David and how David should have been a happy guy, right? You look at David and you're like, dude, what is your problem? You had like everything going for you. And David, for whatever reason, made a decision, because I believe at this point in his life, as you study his life, he was very dissatisfied. He was disconnected from God. He couldn't sleep. He should have been at war. He should have been with his men, but he wasn't. He's up at night. He's walking around. He looks out and he sees a beautiful woman taking a bath. Hey, men, you need to listen to me. Watch your eyes. You can't help what you see, but you can help what you stare at. Let me say it again. You can't help what you see sometimes. Driving down, and you're like, oh my word. Or something, and you're like, I don't. You can't help what you see, but you can help what you stare at. And here was David's problem. He wouldn't break stare. And liking and looking spin into lusting. And of course, David's position and power, you know the story, get her, and they get together. And you see, you look at a guy like David and you think, how could he do that? Let me tell you something that Adrian Rogers used to say. It's never a matter of how far a person falls, it's a matter of how low they were living. We're like, I can't believe they fell that far. No. They were living that low. It just finally got exposed. Your marriage must be protected. Must be protected. Adultery really starts when we stop pursuing our first love, which is God, and we leave our first love, which is Jesus Christ, and we seek to pursue forbidden love. Some people think that getting married is going to cure their deceitful heart and cure their lust problem. Listen up, it doesn't. Lust is the desire to please yourself in any capacity. It doesn't have to be a sexual thing, but that happens to be what we're talking about this morning. But lust is that desire to, I want to please myself. Lust is the desire to take. Lust says, I will take. This is why I caution young people, teenagers, because here's what happens. Two teenagers start having sex, and one of them is saying, I love you, and the other one is saying, I love this. One is saying, oh, I'm in love with you. I'm giving myself to you, and I love you, and we're having sex. You must really love me. And the other one is saying, I just love this. That's lust. It's taking. Love is the desire to give. Love is the desire to serve. And marriage, if you're not married, listen carefully. If you are married, listen more carefully. Marriage is about giving and pleasing God and then your spouse. So when the reality of marriage kicks in and your spouse stops pleasing you the way your lust has led you to think that you should be pleased, you start feeling unfulfilled and start finding other things to fill the void. And this is the deceitfulness of our heart. Your deceitful heart will lead you to develop ideas about how your spouse should be, how your marriage should look, how sexual intimacy should be. And in essence, we create an image in our mind of marriage, an idol, and when the idol is no longer doing what you think it should do, you move on. And many people have talked about adultery and what it does. And listen, you may not be committing adultery, but may this not be the case for any in here, but there could be some in here who, while you may not be committing the act of adultery, you may be cold and indifferent and callous and cut off from your spouse at night. And you may be short and critical and cynical, and you've just severed that relationship. And sometimes that pain is as equally hurtful because you are wondering, what did I do? Your lust, my dear friends, is powerful and it's potent and it will take you to places and have you talking to people and flirting with people. And the next thing you know, you're in an emotional affair, which I'm going to talk about next week, and then full on adultery. Marriage is a covenant. It's to be protected. It's a lifelong commitment. We are commanded by God to stay faithful for how long? Forever. And some of you are in difficult marriages today. You're like, you don't understand. Probably not. I might have some idea. But I want to share something with you. Behind every command of God is the power of God to carry it out. Okay? Behind every command of God is the power of God to carry it out. Some of us want to go to the Bible and we want to find an answer to justify our decision in terminating our marriage. Don't find an answer to suit your needs. Find God's way for you. Obey the command, protect your marriage, and save your life from destruction and even eternal damnation. And that's where we're going next week. Some of you are in here, and I pray you come back next week. I pray you'll bring a friend next week. Because here's the reality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says this. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that should scare us. How many of you found yourself there? All hands up. Amen. Like, yeah, he hit one of my sins. Okay. So you're like, not me. There's one called self-righteous. Bam. Done. Okay. But I want you to notice the beautiful phrase, and such were. Everybody say were. Now, Paul's writing to a church. He's saying, this is how you used to be. But now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay. And just like last week, okay, here's where we were last week. Do you remember? We talked about murder. So some of us are over here on the adultery thing. We're like, oh, God, forgive me, help me. I don't want my heart to go after him or her. I don't want lust to take over. And we're battling it. And by the way, you need to fight. You need to fight for your marriage. Protect it. Do all you can. The pain of fighting is incomparable to the pain of terminating it. So you're over here and you're like, God, I want to stay pure. And I have an accountability partner. I'm going to talk about that next week. And I want my life. I want my marriage, God, please. And you're fighting it and you're struggling. And some of you are over here and you're saying, God, I've done this and I want your forgiveness and I'm sorry. And please help me to never do this again. And you're broken over your sin. But if you're here and you're committing adultery, and you're living an adulterous, lustful life, this is what John said last week. You can't have murder in your heart and say you love your brother. You can't say I love the Lord and be following the Lord and constantly living in an adulterous state. That's why Paul said such were some of you. Are you obeying the lust of your flesh? Allowing your mind to wander the dark alleys and corners, seeking to please yourself? Is this your pattern of living? See, the thing is, how you live your life does not make you a Christian. It does, however, demonstrate if you actually are one. So don't be deceived. Because if you're continuing to live an adulterous life, it's very doubtful you have eternal life. Like, so what am I supposed to do? Ready? Stop! Stop. Like, I keep looking at porn and I... Are you listening? Stop. Get help. The question is, are you living a new life? Paul said, such were some of you. He's talking to the church. If you've confessed your sin, if you're here and you find yourself knowing I've done this, if you've confessed your sin, let me tell you, God has forgiven you. Amen? He says you're washed. It's good to know God can clean us up. Amen? You're sanctified. It's good to know God can change us. Amen? You're justified. It's good to know you stand right in the eyes of God. Now, your guilt and your shame, it may take some time to subside. There may be scars and consequences, but know this, you are forgiven. Like Jesus said to the woman who we're going to talk about next week, go and what? You know what he's saying? You know what he's saying? Stop it. Knock it off. I'm going to bring this out next week. Don't live your life this way anymore. It's not who you are. Let the love of Christ fill your life and flush out the lust. Keep obeying God. Stay right here. And stay on your knees. Seek God. I wish some of you would have heard me today. Wish you could sit with me and listen to some of the conversations that I have had. You would think totally different about this subject. And some of you are here and you feel the weight. I want you to know God loves you. You've been forgiven. Walk in the newness of life. And this is the final statement, because walking in the newness of life sets you on a course of faithfulness forever. Keep walking in the newness of life and keep walking in the newness of life and keep walking in the newness of life. Amen? Keep walking in the newness of life.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.